On the show today, we have Narmi Technologies co-founder Nikhil Lakhanpal talking about how can open APIs change the face of banking. So check it out. I have Nikhil Lakhanpal here from Narmi Technology. How are you, Nikhil?
I'm well, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Happy summertime to you and your neck of the woods. And looks like a nice day where you are. And we're doing okay ourselves out here in San Diego. So very cool stuff. What's the latest? What are you guys doing there at Narmi Technology? Let's give you guys a quick plug.
Yeah, sure. Narmi, so we're former credit union guys. We were CEO and CTO of a credit union at a relatively young age, which we can get into later.
Yeah.
But just to be honest, Mike, super frustrated by that experience. I mean, there are a lot of legacy technology solutions out there. And my co-founder, we served as CEO and CTO of a very college-oriented credit union, and our membership base was super young. So it wasn't like it was nice to have good front-end technology. It was necessary. We were literally losing members because of it.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't find a solution that kind of, you know, fit the needs. So we started Narmi, and Narmi is really doing the digital banking suite, bringing you well-designed, fully integrated, beautiful front-end technology, online banking, mobile banking, online account opening, website redesign, APIs, and bring that all to your credit union. So
right,
we're doing it.
Right. So you and your co-founder started this company based on personal user experience. You guys were on the front lines of this. So that's a really different angle than most.
Yeah, we're super lucky.
Very cool. So let's get into one of the topics here before we get more into like your history and stuff like that. So let's talk about APIs here, because we're hearing that all over the place today. So what do open API banking and PSD2 actually mean for those who may need a quick refresher on this type of stuff? I think most of us may know what APIs are, but the PSD2, that might be a little foreign to a lot of us.
It's definitely a very topical subject in the industry right now, and maybe just API banking. It's this concept that the consumer is the one that creates the financial data. The consumer is the one that transacts with the financial data. The consumer is really, you know, is at one with the financial data. But for so long, that financial data hasn't left the financial institution, right? That consumer creates it and needs it, but it actually sits with the institution. And then if the consumer ever wanted to interact with it or better their financial lives with it, it was very, very difficult, right? And let's be honest, it still is difficult today. So open API banking kind of takes the approach where let's put that data back in the hands of the consumer, right? And I'll get into this a little later.
Sure.
The common misconception is that the financial institution becomes less relevant, and you know, it's actually the opposite, and I'll explain why. But open API banking is really, let's make the consumer's life better through access to data. And then, you know, so that's all nice very conceptually, right? And
that sounds
really nice, but PSD2 is what takes that from concept into action. So PSD2 is a regulation passed only in the European Union.
Oh, really?
So it only affects EU and financial institutions, but it basically mandates them to provide an API for their customers. So now that customer can interact with third-party payment providers, third-party applications, other fintech companies, basically whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so just to be clear, it's not a regulatory mandate in the United States just yet.
Yet.
But I do still feel you are seeing the effects of it already in the U.S.
Okay.
So hopefully that's helpful to clear the
Yeah, totally, because that's an education for me, and I think probably for a lot of others as well. Because, I mean, we were just talking before the recording, we were just in Vienna, and gosh, I should have brought this up there about that type of thing, and how quickly it'll be coming over to the U.S., because I'm sure it will be, because of, as we all know, the regulation overload that we've been experiencing the past few years. I'm sure that one's right around the corner. So how has open APIs, how has it changed banking, and how do credit unions, how can they benefit from this change?
Yeah, so again, for the first time in such a long time, the consumer, in this case the member, is put first, right? So that is how it will change. And I think you will see, as credit union leaders, you will see your members come up to you and say, how are you empowering my financial life?
Yeah.
Life, outside the institution, right? I understand you have a checking, savings, investment account. I understand I can get an auto loan, personal loan, credit card from you, mm-hmm. but I need more. I want to have a better handle on my finances. And then suddenly you're going to be faced with this question. You're going to look at your tech department. You're going to look internally. You're going to say, well, I don't have, you know, this is not my bread and butter. My bread and butter is to offer what you just said. But then you can say, well, I can enable you to do that. I have the platform to enable you via API to do that. And that's really where credit unions can knock it out of the park. Okay. I really do think this is the first time in a really, really long time where credit unions have the ability to be ahead of the curve here. And it kind of fits really well with, you know, putting your members first. Right. How are you empowering your members to do this? So let's actually think about a little bit of an example, right?
Sure.
Bill pay, for example, right?
Yeah.
Find one credit union out there that does bill pay internally, right? It's super, super rare, right? It's always an external solution. And that's really what completely kind of turned the industry upside down, because I don't think anyone expected bill pay's effect on the stickiness of a member to happen, but it did, right? Bill pay is one of the stickiest things that ever happened to credit unions. So I really do think if you're thinking about benefits to credit unions, it's deepening that member relationship.
Yep.
So that the credit union actually becomes the most important part in the equation. So that if I, as a consumer, I do have credit union accounts, as you would expect, and now I have four different applications that all use an API that's provided by my credit union,
mm-hmm.
you better bet I'm not going anywhere anytime soon,
yeah.
right? Because my entire financial life depends on those four. And one other example I want to give you, Mike, is...
Sure.
Is Facebook versus MySpace. In 2007, Mark Zuckerberg basically said, we've got this beautiful platform, right? I've connected hundreds of millions of people on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it all though. I've done so much already, I will continue to do much, but how much more powerful would it be as if I opened my platform to the world, to developers, to build off Facebook and leverage what I've built
and
do more? And what happened? Facebook became literally the most essential part of that entire equation.
Yeah.
So it was a long answer to your question,
yeah.
but again, really do feel credit unions can solidify themselves as the most important part in their members' financial journey, which I think any institution wants to do, right?
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to be that primary financial resource. So then this sounds like the way to do it. So what should credit unions do, you know, regarding this topic, so they're not so caught flat-footed? Because it sounds
yeah.
like this is a next step for them, definitely.
Yeah, you know, I'll definitely. It's funny that approach. I'll answer this question, but I actually will say what credit unions shouldn't do.
Okay.
Because it's do not. I would just advise credit unions not to operate under this fear that if they allow other third-party applications to leverage their financial data and to touch their members, that they're actually losing their members, right? This
yeah.
is a common misconception I hear over and over that, well, Nikhil, like we do this, we kind of, let's take personal financial management, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
Very like budgeting, goals, categorization, you can go all, you can. There's a huge extreme. In fact, Simple Bank is literally a bank that is only PFM
pretty
oriented.
Much.
Credit unions can only do so much. Like, you can only do so much within online banking. And if you have a member that really wants to deepen their relationship, let them do that. And I think, like, you will never lose that banking experience by allowing them to better their member experience.
Totally.
And then, you know, I think it's be more open. I think it's, you know, just to be very tangible, it's to adopt an API. but, you know, push your existing, you know, technology partners to be more open as well. It's definitely the way the industry is going.
Okay. So let me get this straight here, because I'm trying to line up the picture here. It's the credit union having these applications or these APIs that allow members to kind of pick and choose what they want to use. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And that kind of empowers them?
Yeah. So, yes. I mean, long story short, yes.
In a nutshell.
Really, the credit union is enabling their members to have that luxury,
right?
Right.
Right.
It's not that the credit union is saying, hey, we've done this, and oh, here are 10 different applications you can choose from.
Right.
That's been, just to be honest, it's not even necessary for the credit union to do, right? That's not the credit union's responsibility. The credit union's responsibility is to make sure whichever application, like 10 is such a small number, I'm talking like hundreds of thousands,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And whichever one of those, pick a random one, it's the credit union's responsibility to make sure that data flow is seamless, or
okay.
at least at least possible. No, actually, it's possible and seamless,
gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
And that's what, so, and how it actually works is the member then downloads that application. Mm-hmm. Let's just think of a hypothetical, right? An application that helps you, Mike, at the end of your tax season and gives you a beautiful summary of all you spent and itemized like this. Like, that's what you want.
I would love it.
And that application is then responsible for hooking up into the API. You as a member authenticate it. Mm-hmm. So from a security certain, you as Mike Lawson are giving that application permission to use your credit union data. But the credit union's responsibility is just to provide that in a beautiful API. People don't fully understand what this means. It's well documented. It's engineer friendly. It's consistently updated.
Mm-hmm.
The time needs to be literally 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what a real API does. And it needs to be standardized so that that third party application that might need to integrate with, you know, multiple institutions.
Yeah.
Isn't going all over the place and doing a custom integration per API, because that really slows things down.
Totally. Oh my gosh, I love to see where this is going. And the cool thing is that you're going at this from a totally user or actually frontline perspective, because as we addressed at the very top of the show, is like you came from, what was the credit? It was in Georgetown, right? Was it Georgetown University Credit Union or something? Or let's talk about that.
So, yeah, quick backstory. In 1983, not to give a boring history lesson, the NCOA chartered 30 completely student-run credit unions.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, today, almost 35 years later, there are only 3 left.
Oh, my God.
But Georgetown happens to have the biggest. It was about $18 million when I was there, and Chris, my co-founder, who was CTO of the credit union, with me alongside me. So we were there in 2012, and it was a remarkable experience. Everyone from the teller to the CEO is an undergraduate student.
Mm-hmm.
We're fully NCOA insured. I was negotiating core banking contracts. I was dispersing loans. I was managing my net worth ratio. It was a really, really interesting experience. But think about it this way. I would lose a lot of graduating seniors to the mega banks post-graduation, right?
Yeah.
Had I had an open API which allowed them to interact through their 4 years at Georgetown, allow them to maybe add an app a year. So let's say at graduation they had 4 apps and they were interacting with these apps. Do you really think I would have lost them? No.
No.
The credit union, but it became the most sticky.
Yep.
There's no way that their banking relationship at Chase or Wells Fargo or Citi would have been 10 times worse than with my credit union had I created this environment of, you know, the full financial picture. So that's such a perfect like example in my opinion.
I agree.
So we definitely had our challenges, but it's an awesome institution. Super thankful. They're on the NARMI platform. So if you remember there and have their mobile app or online banking or go to their website, that's all powered by NARMI. So we have a really good relationship with
them. So what pain points are you answering here? It sounds like there's obviously a convenience factor, seamless integration, choice. That are these typical pain points? Are there any other pain points that you're answering here for Creighton's and trickling down to the member?
Yeah, sure. Are you specifically talking about the API or more just NARMI in general?
I think NARMI in general, and we can talk about the API as well.
Sure. Yeah. So, NARMI in general, I think the mission and the vision is to become, if a credit union wants new technology or has an idea, they call us. We are the company known to innovate for credit unions, deliver on our promises, not give you one product, sign you into a 7-year contract, and then not change the product for 7 years. This literally happens today.
That's good.
The company we are building and are fully committed to. And we want our customers to hold us accountable, right?
Sure.
So that, like, just the contracts and the mentality alone, I think is such a massive pain point. And I can speak from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
From the product standpoint, I mean, I could go on and on, right? Modern design, you look at, and I hope this isn't coming across as too aggressive, but you go to most credit union websites or online banking platforms, really, you know, outdated. And on top of that, from website to online banking to mobile banking to online account opening to your loan application system, five different things that theoretically should all look the same and feel the same, they all look like completely different. And we're really bringing it all together so that the member feels like, just, it's like natural, right?
There's a comfort factor there, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
just functionality in general. I think, you know, the things we do, like P2P integrations and personal financial management embedded in online banking, at least to, you know, the extent we're able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
it's just, I don't want to get into a feature list, but it just, like, you know, goes on and on. And I really do think it's needed in the industry.
Sure sounds like it. Sounds like you guys are really on to something here. You're like, it seems like three or four steps ahead right now, you know? Yeah. Well, you have to be these days because, you know, the disruptors, which everyone's talking about, they're already there. So it sounds like you guys are kind of answering the bell in that fashion.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of external factors, right? But I think there's two paths that most companies take. And I think the majority of companies I've seen in fintech have actually taken the B2C approach, right? They're going directly after the consumer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the online lenders, I see new PFM applications every day almost, or every week. You have literally new banks that pop up on a month basis, partnering with other banks, or they might even get a charter soon from the government. So it's a pretty scary time, and I think, you know, Chris, myself, and the rest of the Narmi team believes that partnering with the credit unions can be a lot more rewarding, right? Because they already hold the member relationship.
Yep.
And getting a member relationship over again and starting from scratch is really, really tough. So let's work with them to help them hold on to that, help them make it better, and really, like, future-proof themselves, right? You want to be in a place where you feel good about your technology. You feel good that in 3 years, I want to be X, Y, and I want to accomplish X, Y, Z, and I have the best technology partner to help me do that. Like, that's such a powerful thing in my mind.
Nikhil, I think it's safe to say you have a passion for this. And that's a good thing, because that's what we need. We definitely need that. Anything else to wrap up, Nikhil? This is such a great, I love stories like this, you know, so that's why enjoy having you guys on, and look forward to having you back on maybe 6 months down the road, see how things are going, or if we connect at a conference or whatever, we'll have you in the studio lounge. But anything else to wrap up here? Any final messages here?
Nothing for me, Mike. I'll just ping it back to you and say we've been following you for a few months now, almost a year, and just the energy you bring, and you just seem like a genuinely nice person, and I've had the pleasure of meeting you in person. So thanks for doing what you do as
well. You're welcome. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And let's get you guys back on the show too. Love to see how you guys are keeping four or five steps ahead of all the other folks. So excellent. Keep up the good work, sir. All right.